Emotional bites.
All bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to go.
We're diving deep into respect today. You know, it's surprising how many layers there are to this concept.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, we've got all these research articles and sociological studies, and they all seem to define respect so differently. It all depends on who you ask and what kind of relationship you're looking at.
Yeah, it really is fascinating. Respect is this universal value, but it's also deeply personal, you know, shaped by all our experiences and the context we find ourselves in.
Exactly. So one of our sources, A Passion for Respect, it starts off with a pretty straightforward definition. It says respect is the bedrock of moral communities.
Yeah.
You know, those spaces where everybody feels a sense of justice and belonging.
Yeah.
But then the source goes on to say when respect is violated, it can be so unsettling. It throws off our sense of fairness, belonging, even our self-worth.
And that's what makes it so essential. It's not just a nice thing to have. It's crucial for a functioning society.
Right, exactly. But here's where things get interesting. Another study, Respect in Close Relationships, dives into how respect works in romantic partnerships.
Interesting.
And their findings add a whole other dimension to how we understand respect. Apparently, respect between partners comes down to qualities like honesty, trustworthiness, and really listening to each other, which makes sense.
It does. These qualities build this sense of safety.
Wow.
And vulnerability, you know, letting your partner feel seen and valued for who they truly are.
That's so important.
It is. So while that first definition, it focused on those broader societal implications of respect.
Yeah.
This one brings it down to a personal level.
Exactly. So what does this all mean for you? Well, it means that respect works on multiple levels.
Yeah.
It's about how we treat each other in society and how we behave in our closest relationships, like zooming out to see the big picture. And then zooming back in to examine the details of our personal lives.
I like that. That's a great way to think about it.
And it leads us to a question. How do our actions influence the respect we receive?
Ooh, good question.
The thesis introduces this idea of respect standing.
Okay.
And it's like building a reputation for being respectful, like good credit. The more you show respect through your actions, the stronger your respect credit becomes.
So it's not just about demanding respect, it's about earning it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And speaking of different approaches to respect,
yeah,
Pike's thesis presents these contrasting perspectives that I think are interesting.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
So on one hand, you have the British government. They're advocating for respect by all as a way to combat antisocial behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a top-down approach.
Mm-hmm.
It emphasizes individual responsibility. If everyone just behaved themselves, respect would just happen.
Okay.
But on the other hand, you have the National Economic and Social Forum. They argue for respect for all.
Okay, that's a different approach.
It is. This one emphasizes that everyone deserves respect, no matter what they do.
Right.
It's like a bottom-up approach.
Yeah.
If we treat everyone with respect from the start, we create a more just and cohesive society.
I see. So two very different viewpoints.
They are. And it makes you wonder, do you think respect is something to be earned? Or is it a basic right?
That is a tough question.
It is, right?
Yeah.
There are no easy answers. And it gets even more complicated when we consider the different types of respect out there. Pike's thesis gives this example of showing respect to a judge in a courtroom.
Okay, I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah, like even if you don't agree with the judge or their rulings, their role in the justice system demands a certain level of respect. It's institutional respect.
Right, where you show deference to the position someone holds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's totally different from the respect we might feel for a close friend or a romantic partner.
Yeah.
In those relationships, respect is earned through personal qualities, like empathy, honesty, open communication. It's about trust and connection.
Precisely. Building that bond over time.
It's interesting, though, because in a way, these different types of respect, they kind of intersect and influence each other.
They do, don't they?
Respect is built on honesty, trustworthiness, the ability to truly listen.
Uh-huh.
And those qualities, they kind of echo the idea of respect as the foundation for those moral communities from A Passion for Respect.
Wow, that's good observation. So whether we're talking about respect in society or in our closest relationships, there seem to be some common threads.
Definitely. So we've got these different definitions of respect going on, societal, personal, institutional.
Yeah.
And they're all interconnected. But now we're going to add another layer to this already complicated concept, self-respect.
Okay, let's talk about self-respect.
Right. This is where things get really interesting. Pike's thesis suggests that self-respect is fundamental to all the other types of respect.
Interesting.
It's like, how can you truly respect others if you don't respect yourself first?
It's like having a solid foundation to build on.
Exactly. If we don't have self-respect, it can affect how we interact with others and the respect we give and receive.
Absolutely. We've seen so far that respect isn't just one thing, is it?
No, definitely not. It's more like this intricate web of expectations and personal values woven together with all those dynamics in our relationship.
Right. It's like we're exploring this vast, varied landscape. And with every turn, we find something new about respect.
I like that analogy.
So how about we zoom in now and see how all these different sides of respect actually play out in the real world?
Okay, sounds good.
And families, they're a great place to start. The family dynamics chapter makes it clear. Families are crucial in shaping how we understand respect.
Yeah, for better or worse.
Exactly. Ideally, families are this supportive environment. We learn about boundaries, give and take, mutual respect, of course.
It's like a mini society, that training ground where we learn those first lessons about respect.
Yeah.
And those lessons shape how we approach respect throughout our life.
Exactly. Healthy families, they encourage things like open communication, empathy, and being able to acknowledge each other's needs and feelings.
Right.
And all of that lays the groundwork for respectful relationships, both within the family and out in the world.
But let's be honest, not every family is that ideal, supportive environment.
True.
Power imbalances, for example, they can really mess up how respect is given and received within a family.
Oh, absolutely. The source power dynamics in families, it goes into how those power imbalances, say between parents, they can create this ripple effect through the whole family system.
So like if one parent is always dominating or controlling the other, it teaches kids that respect is tied to power, not to understanding and empathy.
Exactly. And those early lessons, especially the unhealthy ones, they can stick with us. They affect how people approach respect in their friendships, romantic relationships, even at work.
But what about the individual? How do our own actions impact the respect we get from others? Remember that idea of respect standing from Pike's thesis?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's all about how our behavior adds to our reputation, building up that respect credit we were talking about earlier. The more we show honesty, integrity, kindness, the more respect we earn.
But what happens when people feel disrespected or undervalued? It can lead to frustration, even resentment.
But even with those challenges, people can find ways to build self-respect and earn respect in their communities. Remember that pothead story from Pike's thesis?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That person, despite all the stigma, they made a space of respect within their own social circle.
Yeah.
It shows how respect can be both personal and depend on the situation.
Right.
We might not control how society sees us, but we can try to live in a way that earns respect from the people who matter to us.
That's a really good point. It's empowering, even within difficult situations.
So we've talked about families and individuals seeking respect, but respect also works on a much bigger level, society. Remember those contrasting ideas from Pike's thesis, respect by all versus respect for all.
Oh, yeah, those are really interesting. They show the tension between what the individual is responsible for and what society is obligated to do when it comes to building a culture of respect.
So the respect by all side, it stresses that people earn respect by fitting into societal norms and behaving properly.
Like saying, follow the rules, don't cause trouble, and you'll be respected, putting all the burden on the individual.
But then respect for all says respect is a basic right. Everyone deserves it no matter what.
Yeah.
This view challenges us to create a society where respect is the foundation, not the reward.
I see. So it makes you think, what happens when those societal norms are unfair or discriminatory themselves? Can we expect respect from people while denying them basic rights?
It's like asking someone to play a rigged game and then blaming them for losing.
Exactly. It highlights how power and inequality decide who gets respect and who doesn't. And this brings us back to some of those real-world examples we talked about before.
Like respecting a judge in court, even if you disagree with them. That's institutional respect.
Right, about keeping order.
But what if the justice system itself seems biased or unfair? Does just blindly obeying authority still mean true respect?
That's a really tricky question.
It is. Sometimes showing respect means questioning the very systems that demand it.
That's a great point. True respect might require us to challenge the way things are and fight for a better, fairer world.
And that's what we're seeing, isn't it? Respect is always changing, shaped by social norms, personal values, and the dynamics of our relationships.
Right. And in a world that's changing so fast, how we understand and approach respect needs to evolve too.
Respect isn't passive. It's something we actively practice. It's about making choices in how we treat ourselves and others.
Those choices have a big impact, not just on our own relationships, but on the whole fabric of society.
And for this final part, we're going to look ahead to the future of respect in a world that's changing faster than ever before. Technology, social movements, cultural norms, they're all shifting how we see and experience respect. Luckily, there's some guidance in this source, Respect and Social Worth 2022. It really digs into what makes people feel respected. And it gives some insights into how to build a culture of respect in the future.
Interesting. What kind of insights?
Well, one thing it emphasizes is understanding what social worth actually means in each interaction.
Okay.
It reminds us that respect isn't a one-size-fits-all thing.
Makes sense.
Because, like, we need to learn different languages of respect, depending on who we're talking to and the situation we're in.
I like that analogy. Different languages of respect.
And the study also says it's important to match our behavior with the other person's goals for that interaction. Like, to really show respect, we have to understand what the other person values and wants in that moment.
So it's not about just blindly following social rules.
No, not at all. It's about being present, listening actively, really trying to see the world from their point of view.
Which can be hard, especially in a world that feels so divided these days. We tend to think everyone shares our values, but that's usually not the case.
It makes me think of another point from Respect and Social Worth 2022. About how misaligned judgments of social worth can lead to feeling disrespected.
Like we're speaking different languages, right?
Yeah. For instance, someone might think equality is important to us when it's not. Or they might downplay something we value deeply. These mismatches can cause friction and conflict.
So how do we bridge those gaps? How do we make sure our attempts to show respect are actually received as respect?
Well, the study suggests focusing on communication and trying to see things from their perspective.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's about asking questions to clarify, listening without judging, genuinely trying to understand their point of view.
Like learning each other's language of respect.
Exactly. And that takes patience and being willing to step out of our comfort zones.
Absolutely. And now for the big one, technology. It's changed how we interact so much. Social media, especially, creates some real challenges for fostering respect.
Yeah, it's true. It's so easy to say hateful things with no real consequences. It can create a toxic environment. Empathy and understanding get replaced by negativity and division.
It's a problem. Those boundaries and social cues we have face-to-face, they're blurred.
It's about taking those values we aim for offline, like empathy, understanding, respect for all, and bringing them into the digital world.
It makes sense. So we've reached the end of our deep dive into respect.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground. We've looked at the history of respect, how it works in our personal and professional lives, even the challenges and opportunities ahead.
We've seen how respect operates on different levels, from the individual to society as a whole.
And it's constantly being shaped by our interactions. But most importantly, we've learned that respect isn't passive. It's an active choice we make daily in how we treat ourselves and others.
That's a powerful takeaway. The future of respect really is in our hands. We each have a role to play in cultivating it in our own lives and promoting it in our communities, both online and off.
It's a journey, a constant process of learning and growing. It might not always be easy, but it's essential if we want a world where everyone feels valued, heard, and respected. And stay curious about the ripple effects of respect, how even the smallest acts of kindness and consideration can create a more harmonious and just world for all.